Welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and in today's installment, it's National Pride Month. So as part of that, we're going to discuss the different ways that the LGBTQ plus community affects and is affected by the larger community in central Minnesota. For those unfamiliar, Pride has its origins in New York City after the famous Stonewall riots in Greenwich Village, where people finally stood up and said enough to police harassment. This was nearly 50 years ago, and the celebration of individuality and the discussion of what is basic humanity has been evolving ever since. Whether or not you yourself are LGBT or other, you very well know somebody who is. So while conversations such as this could be difficult for some, it could be essential and life-saving for others. Because if there's one thing everybody can agree on, is that this is a complicated topic. So we'll start off today discussing the difficulties of this topic with Yadira, a St. Cloud resident. And as this story unfolds, hopefully you'll be able to glean a better understanding of why somebody would take pride in themselves. Welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota.
Thanks. My name is Yadira. I work here in St. Cloud at Great Theater. I'm box office and communications coordinator there. I also teach dance at Revolver Studios, which is super duper fun. I'm a writer, author, graphic designer, kind of a jack of all trades, and I'm just super excited to be here.
My kind of perspective here, I guess, is like, the whole thing is about individualism.
Yeah.
You know, who are you? And that's the only thing that really matters. Mm-hmm. And what people get caught up with is this idea of who you should be,
right,
and who you really are. And then that's an internal argument too.
Yep.
Because I take it all the way back to homosexuality. Evolutionarily speaking, should not exist,
right,
because there's far less chances for homosexual couples to have children. Mm-hmm. So why does it still happen?
Right.
Because our human nature is about variation.
Okay. And it's so interesting that you bring that up, because we see homosexuality in every species, and you're totally right. Like evolutionarily speaking, like you can't keep going as a species without, you know, procreation. But I think it's really interesting that in human beings, we have the consciousness to be like, it doesn't necessarily make sense, but it also does in a way that we understand the science behind it. And it's really interesting to see how history has kind of shown that these individuals have existed. The records aren't very many, because history tries to erase those things from ever happening. Like during the Holocaust, you had, I forget the name of the center, but they burned down an entire center where there were massive studies about transgender individuals, homosexuality, and what have you. They just closed it down and put everybody in concentration camps, along with the Jews and disabled people and what have you. So we've been here.
The different.
Yeah, the different people. Yes. Like, we've been here. It's just everybody just tries to erase it like it never happened. But it is a thing that happens really frequently. So we have to look at it and say, these people exist. How can we move past the binary, right?
So, yeah,
super, super wild. Like, I was raised in a very, first of all, I was raised in Texas, super conservative state in the first place. And then I was also raised Mormon, which is very, very wild now looking back, because everything is, you are born this way and you have to, I was assigned female at birth, and it's like, you have to be a mother. That's like all you're ever going to be in life. Like, yeah, go get your education and stuff. But at the end of the day, You still have to be a mom, and you're going to have to marry a man and this, that, and the other. And if you're gay, like, that's not a sin, but you can't actually, like, be with somebody who is, like, the same gender or what have you, because that's the actual sin. So it caused a lot of, like, dissonance, cognitive dissonance in me, a lot of internalized transphobia and homophobia growing up, because I identify as, I use pansexual and bisexual. I interchange those. They mean the same to me personally. It's not like that for everybody.
Mm-hmm. It's a definition of terms.
Exactly.
That gets confusing.
Exactly. Everybody, and it's so funny, because speaking of binary, everyone, even in the community, there's a lot of work to be done, because when it comes to people like me who identify as bisexual or pansexual, even in those communities, there's a lot of infighting, because it's like, oh, well, one's not trans inclusive and the other is, but in reality, like, it's always been trans inclusive, but that distinction does matter to other people. There's no umbrella terms when it comes to gender. Your gender identity is yours, and you can express it however you want. Like, some days I'm like, yeah, I'll say, yeah, I identify as gender fluid, but to a lot of people who may not understand that, or depending on what crowd I'm with, I'll just say, yeah, I'm non-binary, because a lot of people don't realize that there's so many other terms that go under that big umbrella. Mm-hmm. Or people get confused and they're like, well, what does that mean? Is that like trans? Yes, no, depending on the day, kind of a thing. So it's really interesting, especially being here in St. Cloud, where it's almost like there's two very distinct communities. You have a very conservative community, and then you have a very, very LGBT-friendly, very liberal community as well. And it's very interesting here to see those two communities often interact with each other. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really, really good for this community to have those two distinctions, because then we can learn about each other and we can learn about why certain people don't think that these identities are valid or that these sexualities are valid. You get to see from their point of view and then maybe relate to them on a different level, which is important. It's important to have those conversations, because how else do you get people to understand? I'm very open. I'm able and have the privilege to be very open about my gender identity and my sexual identity, because I have a great and safe space here and a great community that kind of lifts me up. But I've known I was bisexual or pansexual since kindergarten, right? And I remember telling my mom one day I was going to marry my best friend, Alexandra. And she's like, you can't. She's a girl. And I was like, fine, then I'll marry my best friend, Juan. Because I was like, it doesn't matter to me. I just love them both. Like, it doesn't matter. And as I got older, I found myself like watching cartoons or watching TV and being like, wow, that female superhero is just so cool. I really like her outfit. Wow. And just being like, I really want to be her, but I also want to kiss her. But wait a minute, I don't know if I can do that or have those feelings. So the dissonance was so there. And again, I remember I never fit into the box of like that girly girl kind of thing. I've always kind of known that I was gender fluid, but more so on the masculine side or the neutral side, just because like my mom would try so hard to put me into like traditional girl clothes or whatever. And I'd be like, Mom, I just want to wear jeans and a t-shirt. And she eventually started letting me do that. And everyone's just like, oh, they're a tomboy. But I remember being at the park one day when I was about 13, and this little kid comes up to me and they're like, are you a boy or a girl? And back then, that was, what, the early 2000s? It wasn't really talked about then, even. Mm-hmm. Even in the last, like, 10 years, you've seen this conversation hit the mainstream, and it's so beautiful, because I was like, I don't know, I feel I'm a girl, but I don't feel like a girl, and I've never felt like a girl. So it really brings my heart so much joy and happiness to see these younger kids being like, I know who I am, because there's people like Laverne Cox in the media, people like Marsha P. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera coming back into the mainstream and people talking about these individuals. It's so beautiful to me because these people exist. We're valid.
Yeah, that is part of the struggle there, is just to get people to see that there is a different reality than what they're used to. And, you know, a lot of people... we could definitely go down this route. I used to live in New Orleans a long time ago.
Oh,
and yeah, lived in the French Quarter. It was like, I was like a double minority. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Cause you know, I would say I'm pretty much a straight guy, you know, I like women for the most part, you know, and everything. But so there's that. Cause the French Quarter is very gay.
Yes.
You know, come on.
I love NOLA.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then of course, you know, the African-American all over the place too. Yeah. So it's like, so I got to experience just in a little tiny bit, yeah, you know, what it was like to be that other,
right,
you know, because it's like, as a white guy from Iowa, guess what? There's not too much other.
Yeah. So the Midwest is very much that way.
Yes. So I got to experience it just for a little bit. That was very eye opening. And I'm very glad that it happened, you know, because now I can like, wait, somebody is dealing with something that I have no frame of reference about.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel very, very outside. But there was one time I was at the dog park, and you know, there's these four guys hanging out as our dogs were running around. The other three guys are all gay. And we were talking about, there was this guy had written like a letter to the editor of a newspaper about this thing, and you know, it was very homophobic, hateful stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, God, why would somebody do that? And then these three guys, just without missing a beat, because he's gay and hasn't admitted it,
and is struggling. And I was like, really? And then all three of them were like, oh, yeah, I was bad, too. Same. I was,
so true to see. It's so true. There are so many stories like that. Even with myself, I remember, again, raised super conservative, super Mormon. And there were, I was so hateful and super homophobic. And I was the one that'd be like, oh, I'd throw the F word around and be like, oh, you guys are just, you know, it's a choice and this, just the most ignorant. When I think back, it's like the most ignorant and ugly, ugly thing. And people who have, that I knew when I was, in high school who know me now are like, holy crap, dude, who are you? I was like, yeah, I was gay the whole time, y'all. And so here I am. And so the internalized hate is so powerful, and you see that all throughout the community, even with people who are open. It's wild. Being bisexual or pansexual in the LGBT community is really difficult, because we, even on the inside of the community, face a lot of discrimination from lesbians and gay people, because they're like, oh, well, you're not actually part of the community. Like, you have to make a choice. Or you have people, I know many lesbians who will not be with a bisexual woman because they've been tainted by men, or vice versa. Men are like, oh, but you like women? Ew. Like, it's so bizarre to me to see that when we're all in the same boat. Like, we're all here trying to fight for equity and equality, and we have to join together as a community to do that. How else are we supposed to go out and be like, hey, we're here, we're all like good, can you please recognize us? Other people won't take us seriously until we can unite together and understand that we are all different, but we're all in the same group here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that individuality. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, it expresses itself in, well, whatever way it is. Yeah.
Seriously. And like I mentioned before, some people have different terms for themselves. A lot of people will just use an umbrella term and be like, yep, I'm just gay, or yep, I'm just queer, or whatever. And then you have people who those labels matter very much so to them, which is fine. You can identify however you want. And they'll go and list, you know, like, I'm non-binary, gender neutral, gender queer, what have you. And they have all their labels down to the T. And that's fine. Both are valid and both are fine. So I think it's really interesting to see when, even in the community, they're like, well, you have to choose one or the other. And I'm like, it's not a binary. We are literally trying to fight all these binaries in our society that tell us we have to be this, we have to be that, we have to do this. And it's a constant struggle and a constant internal growth thing. And again, I'm lucky to have the privilege to be open about it, because these conversations matter. They absolutely matter. And I love that we're doing this, because it's Pride Month. It's awesome. And I actually just celebrated my 2 years of being, like, out to everybody. Oh, I came out June 10th, 2017. The first person I came out to was my boyfriend at the time. So that was a trip and a half, because he was like, so are we still together? I'm like, yes, we're still together. I'm just letting you know that I also have these feelings for women. And we're no longer together, but it was very interesting to see how even that relationship changed. Relationships, as much as people say that they won't change, they do in a way. They can either change for good or they can change for bad. So it's really interesting for me to see how many people, a lot of my Mormon friends, stopped talking to me when I came out as bisexual, when I came out as gender fluid, and I identify as an atheist now, and everyone's just kind of abandoned me. But yet that's brought in a lot of other amazing people into my life, and this tribe of people that I have who are just all these beautiful, vibrant human beings, and they bring so much to St. Cloud and to Minnesota. I just love it here, how open it is. It's just so beautiful.
Nice. And that's what it all comes back to, really. Yeah. You know, it's like, hey, you are living your life, and it's wonderful. Look at all the neat stuff, you know, and that's, absolutely. I think that's the point, you know?
Oh my God, yeah.
So what would you say to somebody, you know, a younger person who might be questioning and wondering, and, you know, because it is confusing.
Super confusing. I'd say, first of all, it is totally okay to question it, and then realize that you're not gay, bi, gender fluid, whatever. The questioning stage is important, whether the outcome is that you are queer or that you're not queer. I would also let those individuals know, like, if you find somebody safe to talk to, that's really important. Sometimes your family's not safe, and that's the sad reality. There are families that you can't have those conversations with, but I guarantee for every person in your family, there's somebody else in your life where you can reach out and say, hey, what the hell is going on here? I'm having these feelings, these thoughts, these, I don't know how to sort them out, and just talk through it. That's what I found helped me the most, is once I found somebody that I could talk to, as I'm talking to them, I'm like, oh my God, this is real. Like, this is really how I feel. But it took me a long time to find that individual. And luckily today we have so many resources online, through social media. There is about 100 million Facebook groups you can join that are for, you know, the LGBT community, especially those who are questioning and those who just want more information about the different sublets of the community and what have you. So I'd say it's definitely okay to have these feelings and questions. It's just a matter of sorting them out. It's like the ball of yarn in your head that you just need to unravel and just like re-ravel the right way. Because society tells us like, oh no, you're this way from when you're born. And like I said, in the last like, even like 5 or 6 years, there's been a big shift where it's like, you may not be that way, and that's okay. So fear is normal. Confusion is normal. Dysphoria is very, very normal. But it's really important to find that safe person, safe place. And they exist. It's just a matter of finding them.
Mm-hmm. Well, right on. Well, thanks for chatting today.
Yeah, thank you.
You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. We just spoke with Yadira from St. Cloud about her experiences when she came out and how things are today. And next up, going to be talking with the director of St. Cloud State University's LGBT Resource Center, Seth Kampfer.
Yeah, I'm Seth Kampfer. I am the director of the LGBT Resource Center here at St. Cloud State University, and my pronouns are he, him, his, or ze, zim, zer.
Right on. And it is Pride Month all over the place.
It is.
Yeah. So is there anything in particular going on in St. Cloud with that?
Not on campus, no. So Twin Cities Pride is pretty massive. Takes up a lot of energy and time, and a lot of people travel hundreds of miles to come. So we in St. Cloud decide to kind of hold off on our Pride celebration and recognize that you can celebrate your identities all year round. So we actually, in the second weekend of September, St. Cloud Pride, which is a nonprofit here in St. Cloud, will be hosting their Pride Festival, which is their 10th anniversary. So yeah, some pretty exciting stuff is going to be happening for their 10th anniversary. We're going to get in some really cool drag queens for the drag show. So I'm not sure if I'm at liberty yet to share who's coming. So
yeah, hear that. Well, yeah, you kind of hit the nail on the head there with like it's celebrating identity.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, because my next question is going to be, well, what is Pride all about?
Right. Yeah. So it's celebrating identity. It's celebrating people's experiences. It's also celebrating the hardships and the fights and the consistent embatterment of the LGBT plus community. And it's also celebrating the history, the good, the bad, the ugly, the exciting, the beautiful, and the resiliency of, also celebrating the resiliency of the LGBT plus community and everything that they've kind of gone through. This year, which is super exciting, is the 50th anniversary of Stonewall. Mm-hmm. So,
For people who don't know, this is where Pride came. This is the moment.
It is. It is. It is the pinnacle moment of what we consider as our modern LGBTQ plus movement or rights movement. And what's really important is to recognize that a lot of that buildup was due in part to trans activists and trans women of color activists who were pulling communities together, building connections. And so while that night is very, the riots were very pinnacle or a point in Stonewall, there was a lot of pre-work done for that to kind of be the blow in a way. So
yeah, finally, it's like the straw that broke the camel's back.
And exactly. Then, yeah. And so there was consistent raids that were done on Stonewall, which was well known in the queer community in Greenwich Village, to be a place to kind of come and feel open and free and to live authentically. And so, there were consistent raids throughout its history from police. And so, people in a nutshell had enough and said, this is time to show up. And so for days after you would, there were people, I would say you would, but like I wasn't born. So, but people, would be present and protesting and voicing their concerns and sharing their stories and pulling people together to show that this kind of brutality, this police brutality, this discrimination, this systemic oppression cannot happen anymore. So, yeah.
Yeah, boils down to it. It's like, we're all Americans, we're all different. And, you know, and that's was kind of the direction I was taking it when I was talking to Yaya.
It's yeah.
Like, this is all about individuality.
Exactly.
Who are you?
And, at your core, yeah.
Yeah. And it's not as simple as just choose one or choose other.
Right.
And,
correct.
And it is complicated.
It's fluid. It's complicated. It's nuanced. And I think that's a little bit of a difficulty right now in a lot of Pride celebrations where those who are planning it are white, cisgender. Typically, they're gay. So they are both romantically and sexually. And so it doesn't reflect what the queer and trans community actually looks like. And so you're seeing shifts and change. And I would have to say that Twin Cities Pride is doing a really great job with that and who they're bringing in for their acts, who's on their board, who are they pulling in sponsorship from, what do those conversations look like. And so you're seeing sort of a tension around even Pride celebrations about who's actually being celebrated and what does that celebration look like. And you're seeing some pretty cool activism even within Twin or not Twin Cities Pride, but even within Pride celebrations to say, we need more. We need to be more fluid. We need to be more intersectional. And a great example is Toronto's Pride, where they have dug in deep and said, we need a change. And they've even worked with worked with, I don't know all the details, but with their police for them to not be there because of recognizing the history that police have and how police have continued to marginalize queer and trans folk. So
yep. It's an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
That's kind of the point.
This is
there are things that are still it's like, you know, there are things that are getting better, but then there are things that are still the same. And
exactly.
I think it's a generational thing. People just have to get it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's easier nowadays.
But yeah. And there's so many things that still need to be worked with, and there's so many things that still need to be sort of restructured and rebuilt to allow for liberation. But talking about generational, we're seeing more queer young folk than ever before, statistically. And I see it when I'm working with students here at St. Cloud State and when I'm working in other capacities across the state of Minnesota and even regionally that youth are becoming more conscious, youth are becoming more understanding, and there are more youth that are out, and visibly and vividly out. So peers are finding that this is sort of a quote unquote norm, in their lives. So,
yeah, definitely a shift, because that was one thing just over the years, you know, since I've been paying attention. The suicide rates among teenagers who are, you know, trans, queer, whatever, you know, they're still really high.
It's still exceptionally high, yeah.
But at the same time, it used to be a lot worse.
True.
I mean, that was essentially, you know, somebody starts questioning something. It's like, well, I'm different. I know I'm different.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe other people can tell that they're different. Then they get bullied. And then, oh my gosh, everything's horrible.
Yeah.
And then they kill themselves.
Right.
And that's kind of a very short track there. But, you know,
yeah. And what I think is really cool about the U.S. is that we have so many large organizations that are doing really great work. So talking about queer and trans suicide, there's the Trevor Project that has multiple options, which I think even includes not only one large hotline, but a trans-specific hotline. And then you have large organizations that are looking at the representation in media, so GLAAD. And then you've got various other organizations that are trans-specific and that are looking at law and the connection with law and trans experiences. So it's really impressive to see some of these organizations that still, of course, need funding and support, but they're doing some really great work. And they're doing some great work right now in an era where there is really hard pushback from our administration and rollbacks on particular policies that were created and provided by our previous administration. So,
Yep. It all comes from pride, yeah. You know, from, you know, the beginnings of it, and then people beginning to stand up. No, we exist, and let's start working together.
Yes.
And then, yeah, it's, you know, talking about the administration. Yeah. There's all sorts of weird pendulum swings going on there. But at the same time, it's like people were more ready for it this time.
I think so.
Yeah, it's like we're not going back.
No, we won't, and we can't.
Yeah, that's impossible. You just can't go back,
and we shouldn't. Yeah. And so you're seeing some really cool activism right now. You're seeing some really cool artistry right now. You're seeing some really great writing as well too. So.
Well, excellent. So you want to talk about some of the resources around St. Cloud that people might be interested in?
Yeah, for sure. One large resource, and this is very specific to students. So we, our LGBT Resource Center here at St. Cloud State University, we do serve students on campus. We are student fee funded. So a lot of our focus is on a collegiate student kind of life and experience. And so that is our kind of large focus, but we not only provide a variety of programs and initiatives to participate in and to now explore your own identities, but we also have a great staff who you can talk with and myself as the director, just kind of come in. And if you are having a troubling experience, how can I help you navigate that? And, what other resources can I provide to you that are on campus? As well as even in the community. So a couple of community resources we've got St. Cloud Pride. So they're going to be doing a lot of cool things this upcoming year, in the community. They're looking at providing safe space training or community safe space trainings. They're looking at doing a variety of community based, work. So working with, different organizations or, doing some like volunteering and kind of ingraining themselves in the community. There's also Centricare. They have a sexual and gender medicine clinic. So if you are trans identified and you're looking at needing services, that's a really great resource to use. And they'll work with a variety of insurance providers. There's also Prism Mental Health, which is in downtown St. Cloud. They do a variety of payment methods. So if you find yourself as a LGBT plus individual, needing mental health services, you can always reach out to them and they'll work with you. And again, they have a variety of payment options. So in case you're unable to do what is a typical kind of payment, you can help them out instead. If you find yourself in a situation which you're homeless and you're part of the LGBT plus community, there are also really great resources. One is called Pathways for Youth. They are very helpful and they can kind of help people get onto their feet and connected to other resources within St. Cloud that may not be LGBT plus specific, but can assist people as well. And then you've got like Catholic Charities and a couple orgs that have been touching base with myself to provide different resources for LGBT plus homeless youth here in St. Cloud and central Minnesota.
Anything else you'd like to say about Pride or anything?
Yeah, I would just like to say go have some fun. Celebrate in your fullness and your existence. And don't put pressures on what your pride should look like. Also recognize that if you're celebrating pride and you're excluding people, rethink that and think how you can include more people. Because pride is really there to celebrate everyone in their identity, in their experiences. And to recognize our history, recognize the trials and tribulations, as well as push us forward to more liberation. So,
excellent. Yeah. Well, thank you, Seth, for stopping in today.
Thank you.
And that was Seth Kempfer here on the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota, director of St. Cloud State University's LGBT Resource Center. For links to more information on what the Resource Center can do and help with, you can just type in LGBT and SCSU into Google, and I'll take you right there. Or link to it off of our website at kvsc.org under the podcast and Untold Stories of Central Minnesota tab and the link to this story. This has been Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, encouraging you to be proud of who you are, regardless of who that might be.
Because when it comes down to it, that's your business, and only your business. The Untold Stories of Central Minnesota is made possible through support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, and has been produced at KVSC, a proud member of Amper's Diverse Radio for Minnesota's communities.